She owned nothing, not even herself. Sure, she had money, but she had no future. Nowhere to go, nothing to look forward to, no hope. Oh, yeah, okay, she had a few luxurious dresses to tempt customers, but no retirement, no assets, no education, no family that she dared show herself to. No one wanted her. No one wanted to meet with her for coffee in public at Burroughs Cafe. No one wanted to talk to her after the service. No one wanted to eat at her house. No one wanted to be seen with her. Simon, he was meeting with a group of friends, a circle of friends. They were gathered around his table for breakfast. Life was good. The birds were chirping. Can't you just hear their songs floating in through the windows of his home? He's surrounded by people who thought well of him. He was significant, important. And the business that those guys had got together to discuss that day was critical. Honestly, Simon felt like life was perfect. He was something special. She was finally going to bed. Alone, after a long night of horrors, the sun was up, and she was going down for some rest. Her body was worn, her heart a stone, her soul empty and desperate. Can you imagine the agonizing loneliness that just filled her up like a poison? Killing her steadily, day after day. I mean, she was pretty in a way, but she was damaged, spent, fractured, unimportant to everyone, significant to no one. She felt like the frailest of china. Ready to shatter, empty, broken, tainted. At breakfast, he and his friends, they had determined that this guy, Jesus, he needed some researching. The stories about him, of course, were exaggerated. I mean, the guys spreading the stories about Jesus, I mean, they were uneducated people who knew and understood little, right? You know, these stories were persistent. And who knew? Perhaps he was some kind of a small prophet. And that day, those guys got together. They decided that Simon would invite Jesus over to his home for a meal. I mean, Simon's an important person. Jesus would not refuse such an invitation. And cornered in Simon's house and courtyard, Simon could determine what kind of man this Jesus was. What kind of scam was he playing? She was so tired. Tired of existing. Tired of being used over and over. Tired of being abused over and over. No one loved her. She was forever unlovable and untouchable. She would never have a husband and a family. She could never be respectable. She would never have a home. Not a house. She had one of those. But a home where laughter rang out and smiles were frequent and warm and tasty smells filled the air, where people cared for one another. She never had that growing up. She had never had that since she was on her own, and she knew that she would never have that in her future. Simon smiled to himself. The plan was coming together. Jesus had been invited, and as expected, he had agreed to come for dinner tomorrow night. And as Simon looked around and saw all the nice stuff in his place, all the power, all the prestige he surrounded himself with, he resonated with anticipation that Jesus would come to see things the Pharisee way, that Simon would be his guide and his mentor. Jesus would come to recognize just how important a person Simon is on the scale of things in the world. Oh, yeah. He would give Simon the proper respect and admiration that he deserved. She was hurting. This brute, this man, came to her often. He was some minion of the religious Pharisees. He was hurting her again. Well, what else was new? Wasn't she already everybody's main punching bag? Wasn't she already everyone's primary target on who they inflicted pain? Wait, what is he saying? Jesus. The man everyone was talking about who healed incurable diseases, who raised people from the dead, who fixed broken people. The man from Nazareth. He was going to be at Simon's house tomorrow evening for dinner. Why would Jesus go to a place like that? Didn't he know that they only wanted to trap him, to control him, to take advantage of him? She knew that all too well. Yeah, maybe she could see him there. Maybe she could get close to him there. No. She was not worthy to be in the same room as him ever. She was a whore, and he was something special. Simon. Can anyone wallow in how special they are? Simon was. Okay. Simon was simply the toast of the town. The person everyone wanted to be with. The house everyone wanted an invitation to. The place to be seen. The prize to be enjoyed. He was important. Did anyone doubt it? Even Jesus had agreed immediately to have dinner with Simon. Didn't that mean even Jesus realized how important he was? Didn't Jesus want some of the pizzazz to rub off on him? My, oh my, it was going to be a party tonight. She was wallowing in just how unspecial she was. No one would talk to her at the market. No one wanted to be close to her. No one wanted an invitation to her house because it was not the place to be seen. It was not the prize to be enjoyed. She was so unimportant. Did anybody doubt it? Jesus would never look at her. Jesus would never talk to her. Not only was she unimportant, she was the primary target for everyone to aim their abuse. Even the children called her names if they caught her out in public, and they threw rocks at her. And the things that her parents said, she could go several lifetimes without ever hearing those words again. No, Jesus would not want to see her. Honestly. She would tarnish his reputation. She might rub off on him. But she was so desperate. And the things she had heard people say about him were practically unbelievable. But repairing her life? It's easier to raise the dead. She who sold herself as the essence of love experienced it. Never had it given to her or accepted from her in all 25 years of her painful existence. Simon sent out his servants to purchase food for the dinner tonight. I mean, he had some key people coming. Some select leaders of the Pharisee party, a few politicians, just the right group. Jesus himself is going to be there with a couple of his hillbilly followers. It'd be a great opportunity just to position himself as the powerful man he was. It would be the perfect opportunity to put this Jesus in his proper place, to let him see that the Pharisees were really in charge. They were a force to be reckoned with. Servants were setting the low tables, the pillows and cushions, where they would relax together and lay on their sides and enjoy the best the town had to offer. It looks like a really uncomfortable way to eat, but I'm told that's the way they did it. And it actually makes this whole passage make sense. She found that day to be one of the worst ever. The last customer used her and hurt her, and her house had been broken into, and her landlord was demanding more rent and more. She just broke down and cried for all that was lost and all that was never going to be. Have you ever met someone like this? The complete loss of hope. Why was she saving her money? She would never be able to rescue herself from this wretched life. She made a decision in that horrible moment to spend it lavishly. To spend it on the most extravagant, fragrant oils she could buy, rather than let her grimy landlord get his hands on it, or on her. Oh, to have something or someone to adore. Someone to worship, rather than living this horrible, daily, debasing existence. Yes, she swaggered. Yes, she had bravado, but it was all a show. Inside, she was at her end, one way or another. Simon's guests started to arrive. The lowliest on the importance scale arriving first, probably to show their gratitude for being invited at all. I mean, this place was the place to be. Where was that Jesus character? When will he show up? It took all that she had to say. It took all that she had saved. Every single dinar she had tucked away. But it felt right. It felt good to do something so crazy, so extravagant for someone. I mean, she had just been surviving for so long. It was liberating to splurge, literally bankrupt herself for a deep pleasure that was for someone worthy. I mean, Jesus had such a great reputation on the street. Some said he was a prophet. Some said maybe even more. But what she wanted was just a moment of giving where she could be a real person. The real her, for just a moment where no transaction was taking place, where no expectations were made of her. She took her small, precious, incredibly expensive flask of oil and headed toward Simon's house. Simon looked up from the dates he was chewing on. He was sampling them, of course. Just in time to see Jesus walk in the front door with two of his disciples with him. Simon was surprised that Jesus did not look awed or act uncomfortable to be there in the luxury of Simon's home. But I mean, seriously, he's such a common man. I mean, he spoke to the guest and to the servants just like they were the same. Who does that? He also didn't dress up for the dinner. In fact, If Simon wasn't mistaken, he was wearing the very same outfit that Simon had seen him in previously when he saw him a couple of weeks ago. Making a quick, on-the-spot decision, Simon instructed a servant to fetch Jesus and have him lounge at the head table with him. What better way to trap a man than to keep him close by? She just walked right in. She just walked right in. Admittedly, she had been confident that somebody was going to stop her at the door. Somebody was going to ask to see her invitation. Somebody was going to say, no, you're not welcome here. Somebody might recognize her. But she just walked right in. What in the world am I doing here? She thinks to herself. Maybe she should take the oil back to the cellar, get all that money back. Maybe she should just turn around and walk away from this lunacy. But there he was. Just seeing Jesus calmed her, gave her courage, helped her make her decision. This was the right thing to do. And she headed for the head table. Simon thought to himself as he watched this Jesus settle down. This man is no one special. He's just simply a carpenter in the end. No prophet, no one significant. And Simon immediately regretted having invited him to the head table. He started strategizing how to make this Jesus go away, but that's really hard to do when you just invited somebody to come to your head table while making yourself look like an idiot. Who is that woman coming up behind Jesus? She looked familiar somehow. No, it couldn't be her. How dare she show herself in his home? How dare she come into my home? He started to wave a servant over in order to get rid of her. Wait a second. All of her attention was clearly focused on the carpenter. Maybe this was a gift from God. A way to expose this Jesus as the fraud he was. A way to get rid of him once and for all. She was mesmerized by being so close to him. Peace, calmness coming off of him in waves. It was like an ocean of water for the desperately thirsty. His presence vibrate in the air. The vibe off of him was just pure holiness, because in contrast, she felt so dirty, so rotten to the core. Simply by virtue of being in his presence, she could not even look at him. She could not raise her head in his majestic presence. Majesty. That's the right word to describe him. Majesty. And power, so amazing, it crackled like lightning in the air. You could virtually smell the ozone cooking. His majesty, his peace, his power, his grace. In contrast to her, and she started to shake, and she started to weep. Silently, but tears flowed and mingled with her oil and with her hair. And she was so appalled at her worthlessness that she could barely even allow herself to touch his scarred, calloused feet. Simon was enraged to find this whore in his house, and yet gratified that the carpenter was no prophet. Because a real prophet would have never, ever, ever allowed someone like her to touch him, to bathe him in that myrrh. And where did a woman like her get the money to buy that? And what a stupid, silly waste to pour it out on a carpenter. Madness, ignorant fools. Jesus suddenly looked up right into his eyes and asked Simon if he could tell him a short story. Each wipe of tears and oil felt right. Each moment beside him felt humbling. Each second felt like every flower for the whole period of spring was blooming all at the same time. The world was tilting. Things were breaking up inside of her. She could feel it. She could smell it. And it wasn't just the oil that she'd spent every single dinner she had for. No. It was something more. It was the smell of being clean. Like the smell of Josie. You know the Josie smell, don't you? When she's wrapped up in her pink bathrobe that Opa gave her, fresh out of the shower. You snuggle up close to her and you breathe deeply of that baby shampoo smell and their hair and the freshness of their skins, and it's one of the most precious and satisfying smells ever. That's the smell of forgiveness. It fills up all the empty places in a person's heart, and it gives them hope for the future. It's the smell of new. It's the smell of fresh. It's the smell of forgiveness. It's the smell of peace. And folks, this morning, here sat Jesus, the God of all creation. Let's just be honest this morning. He has been worshipped. He is being worshipped by all the most beautiful angels in the entire universe. And he sits at Simon's table, reveling in the love, worship, and adoration of a repentant heart. A repentant and genuinely contrite heart is the most beautiful, precious event in all of time to someone like Jesus. Listen to me carefully. You may not have liked how I told the story, but this is the truth of the matter. This woman's actions really happen. The creation worshiping the Creator destroyed barriers, changed the course of eternity, annihilated spiritual strongholds, wrecked the plans of the enemy, derailed the demons of hell, released captives, made the blind to see, proclaimed the favorable year of the Lord, made things right. So this morning, whether you are a Simon or a tainted woman of the night, today is the day of forgiveness. Today is the day when we can have peace. Today is the day we can have our peace restored. He forgives sins, few or many. And as we come to the table this morning, like Simon and this woman, we can approach Jesus just the way that they did. One with a repentant heart, one with the arrogance of the self-righteous and the prideful and the almost non-sinful. I know you're like me. You're so busy, you don't have time to sin. I get it, okay? But only one person went away from this table satisfied, whole, complete in every way. We're celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus today. The same Jesus who ate and drank in the home of Simon the Pharisee 2,000 years ago. Now, let me clarify a few things here and then we'll get right to it. If you think yourself not such a sinful person, that was bad English on purpose, okay? Not such a sinful person. You're like me, you don't have time to sin. Maybe you should pass on this today. Maybe you shouldn't partake. If you think yourself to be very important, and you probably are,